FPL is finally back and we're wondering whether it's really wise to wildcard this week as we plot our chip strategies. We do an in-depth dive on the doubling teams, explain it might be worth going early on Brighton, and apologies in advance that I can't count. Well, it's been a good week, hasn't it? We've had Easter. Hopefully the Easter Bunny visited you. We've had some sunshine if you're in the UK. I'm sure there's people listening to this in far sunnier climes that say, well, we have sunshine all year. Well, we don't in the UK, okay? So we're happy because we've had a bit of sunshine. But the best bit of news is still to come. The Premier League is back, which means a few of us have got a few headaches, like whether to wildcard. I'm looking at myself in that one. Sam and Jules don't have that headache, but we've all got headaches, haven't we? We've all got plenty of excitement because it is back. And Jules, do you want to get out of the way early? We're recording late on Wednesday night and you're probably going to rub it in the face of all of the Liverpool fans that PSG just beat them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't want to rub anything, Liverpool fans, but your team was dreadful. My team was great tonight. And that should set up well for the second leg next week at Anfield.
Enough of that though, Sam. How are you feeling? Don't take a swig of your tea. I'm about to ask you a question. Don't sit back. I'm not going to sit there and let him gloat because everyone will be turning off and our listeners will go down. No. How are you feeling about the return of FPL?
I can show you my shirt if you want underneath my...
Sam, start talking. Start talking to distract from him.
It's going
to
be great.
Don't take too much off there, Jules.
This is the best... No, please don't. This is going to be the best part of the season. He can't hear us because he's taking his headphones out. It's going to be the best part of the season for us, right? We're getting into the fun bit. We're getting into the bit where the blanks and the doubles come. We're getting into the bit where chips, everyone goes a bit chip crazy. And so the next 7 weeks are going to be the difference makers, I guess. They're the ones that you have to get right. It doesn't matter really necessarily how well it's gone so far. If you mess up your chip strategy, if you mess up these last 7 weeks, it's very easy to throw away leads. But equally, it's very easy to start gaining points back if you get the strategy right and if you get on the right players at the right time. So yeah, definitely don't miss Friday's deadline and be ready for the coming weeks.
Yeah, there's your first reminder. 6:30 p.m. because there's a big game at the bottom, really. West Ham versus Wolves. It's big. Well, Sam doesn't need me to remind her it's big.
Come on,
if West Ham win that, you've got a problem on your hands, Sam. I was thinking before we started this podcast, sorry, before we dive into kind of our tips and thoughts over the season, who do you think there is more pressure on this podcast going into the run-in? Because myself and Sam are chasing and trying to salvage what's been a disappointing season, but Jules could be on for another really, really good finish. Who's there more pressure on, do you reckon, Sam? Us or Jules?
Jules.
Do you know what I mean? Because
what?
You think Jules?
You are under pressure massively as well.
No, listen, what's going to happen is going to happen now, right? Kelly and I aren't having great seasons. It can only get better. And if it gets worse because we make slightly rogue decisions to try to catch up, then so be
but
it.
We probably
whereas
won't be on
you,
this podcast next season.
You, they'll sack us all.
Yeah.
Jules, you're the one that can throw it away. You've got to stay ahead of us.
I mean, staying in front of you, no problem.
If we catch you, I think you should resign. No, but it's interesting, isn't it? Because everyone listening to this podcast, we all have targets in mind, don't we, about what we're chasing and what we want to achieve. And I was thinking about it here, like, I've kind of already written this season off, but there's a part of me that really hasn't. But if you're Jules, you've started chasing the stars, haven't you? You've started thinking, hold on, this could be like my season a couple of years ago.
Yeah, maybe not as high as the, you know, like top 4,000 or something, but it's exciting as well. I think it's always exciting because you want to finish as high as possible, obviously. But when you can win mini leagues that you are involved in, when you can finish as high as, you know, maybe a top 50K in the world, that's obviously even more exciting. So you have to go for it. It adds more pressure. I agree with you more seriously now because you can't really afford the wrong move. There's only seven games left. You've got chips still to play. Other people around you have chips to play as well. There's a lot of that going on, but it's super exciting.
Jules, you're also competing with the best managers in the world, so the margin for error is a lot smaller, whereas myself and Sam are hopefully competing against people that haven't had great seasons, so on.
I've stopped playing 6 months ago, but that's where you are. You go. Yeah.
All right, maybe for Sam, not for me. No, but you know what I mean. No, but it is harder to make rank,
Sam,
isn't it?
It's bedtime.
Yeah, but Sam, you said it a few weeks ago, didn't you? The higher, when you started to climb rank, you were saying, I think you said that Leah said it to you, that actually it'll get harder to gain rank because you can get bigger rank gains when you're lower down, can't you? So yeah it's only
absolutely
gonna get harder.
You've got more ability to move up massively, right? So when you're having a terrible season, you're like 3 million or whatever, it's much easier to make big climbs in those moments. Whereas if you're in the top 100K, moving the dial is harder to do. So, and also you've got to think slightly differently. Like you have to think slightly outside the box, because just going with the template team in the top 100K and the top 10K is going to be, it's not going to help move your numbers. Whereas in our ranks, Kells, we can look at our team and probably those players are having more of a difference making, because there are less players at that rank that have got the same team maybe. So I do think it's harder the higher up you are towards the back end of the season. And that's why getting chip strategy right is why, if you've got the chips remaining, they could be the thing that helps. The fact that Jules and I, neither of us have the wild card left. Now, both of us made good wild card decisions when we played them, and it's moved the dial.
I wish I didn't have mine, Sam, because all week I've been going.
Hells, honestly, this is a massive headache for you now, and I do not envy you.
Because I started to go 32.
It is. It really is.
Trust me, as someone that's in the trenches with it, it is 32 or 35, 32. And then in the last couple of days, I've started to go, actually, maybe I'll play it in 33. Because
the Arsenal
like,
result at the weekend has changed everything.
I agree.
It's changed everything.
I'm leaning towards 33 now. Anyway, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a bit. But if you are listening to this rather than watching it, I'm just going to let you in on the fact that Jules is actually, I think, now on his third outfit, and we're only about 5 minutes into the pod. He was wearing a jumper. He then took it off to reveal his PSG top. He then temporarily disappeared. He's now come back in probably some designer black T-shirt, but he's looking a bit more
just
smart.
Just Burberry, you know, but there's other brands available.
You can tell you work for the BBC, sign something like that. You've got serious now though, Jules. You put your serious attire on. That's because I'm going to ask you about what happened in the Champions League in midweek and how it affects us.
Yeah, because Arsenal won away at Sporting Club de Portugal on Tuesday night to have a step towards the semi-final, whereas Liverpool lost, as we said, against PSG 2-0 in Paris. So they can still qualify, of course. Next week, Anfield, we're on back-to-back Champions League week. But obviously, in a very busy schedule now, with a double game week coming up, with a blank, with everything, at least that maybe only one English team will still be left in the competition. Maybe none, maybe both. We'll have to see next week. But that was, I think, significant because it's another bad result and bad performance from Liverpool point of view. Whereas for Arsenal, at least it's a bit more positive after the defeat against Southampton in the FA Cup at the weekend.
Yeah, okay then. The FA Cup, as Sam mentioned, has kind of thrown a bit of a spanner in the works, by the way, if you're a Southampton fan. And I actually know one Southampton fan who was very happy on Saturday night, who also listens to this podcast. So if you're a Southampton fan, congratulations. I'm not annoyed at all that you won, but my gosh, it's made things harder when it comes to chip strategy. So before those FA Cup games at the weekend, the Premier League did release an article. It was actually just after we recorded, which was a bit of a shame because we could have given you more info last week, but don't worry, we're going to give it today. We did find out that the winners of the FA Cup games would have all of their game week 34 fixtures rescheduled into game week 33. Therefore, as a result of the games, we now know that six teams will double in game week 33. Manchester City's win over Liverpool means that they and Burnley will both double. Chelsea's win over Port Vale means that they and Brighton will double. And Leeds' win over West Ham means that they and Bournemouth will both double. Arsenal, because they lost Southampton, will not double, in case you hadn't worked that out. Of course, the double in game week 33 does mean that there is a blank in game week 34, so managers need to plan for that as well as planning for the double. And by the way, the rearranged fixtures that are in 33 are just before game week 34. I know 33 and 34 are next to each other in terms of numbers, but there's literally a few days between it, so just be mindful when you are planning that it is so incredibly close together, literally days separating it. So in terms of what this means for us in FPL, Sam, I mean, the chip strategy is, kind of blown up a little bit, hasn't it? Because I think people assumed that the Premier League leaders wouldn't lose to a Championship team, but they're a very good Championship team and this is where we're at.
Yeah, and I think when we were looking at it, we were kind of like, well, maybe there's an upset. Maybe Liverpool beat Man City. I think that was kind of where people's heads had gone with that. Maybe Leeds beat West Ham. Like, whereas I don't think anyone was really expecting to have Arsenal going out of the competition to Southampton. Now, it does have quite a major impact on chip strategy if you still have a wild card, because many managers will look at their team, like you, Kells, and go, well, I'm planning to wild card in game week 32 because I can target in on three Arsenal players, three Manchester City players, probably get a couple of Chelsea assets in there because they'll beat Port Vale, and then we'll be laughing for the double game week. Maybe I'll, put a spattering of West Ham or Leeds or whoever gets it. well, when Arsenal don't qualify then, now we're in a position where they're not going to double. Also, of course, means that they won't blank, which is helpful. But it does put us in a position where the teams that you have to target for the double game week maybe aren't the teams that you want to hold long term between now and the end of the season. Plus, if you bring in the double game week players this week, then you have Manchester City and Chelsea playing each other, which really isn't that pleasant at all if you want to go for three each of those. It also doesn't bode well, particularly for, well, probably Brighton are the only ones that do. They've got Burnley this week, but Burnley have got a difficult fixture. Leeds have got Manchester United this week. And you'd be taking out players that have got nice fixtures. So I think actually all those managers that were thinking about it like you that held it till after the FA Cup results did exactly the right thing, because now I do think that either moving it and going for a game week 33 wildcard, although that would mean you can't bench boost, or if it was me, I'd be moving it for a game week 35 wildcard.
Jules, you laid out your strategy last week and you were saying you should go in 32. Anything changed?
Yeah. No, I still think so, Kairos. You go in 32, you target the bench boost 33, you're free.
The problem you have, Jules, is your team just doesn't look good for 32. That's what I struggle with.
It looks
with.
Awful for 32 and then for 35 and beyond.
Yeah, so potentially, but then you can just wildcard in 33 and don't go for the bench boost at that time and then keep your bench boost for later, you know, 37, something like that. We will get another double with the City Palace game anyway. So at some point you can play there if you want to. I just think that even if City play Chelsea in 32, for example, don't have great fixtures, I think you can still build a very interesting squad for 32 that will get you points. You'll be in great position for 33 with the double and your bench boost. And then 34, I expect a lot of people to play their free hit anyway for the blank. So I think it could potentially be three really, really good game weeks for you.
Yeah, it is really tough. And I almost don't think there's a wrong way to do it, because there's benefits. There's not an obvious standout. I was really hoping by this point there would be an obvious standout. It does then impact your other chips, though, and that's a big problem that I've got. So that's where I'm at with having a wild card active or still in my pocket. You guys don't have your wild card, sorry. So Sam, what's your current chip strategy?
I'm still planning to bench boost in game week 33. I think it's going to be the biggest double that we have left. I don't have my triple captain because I've already used that on Gabrielle. So for quite a long time after Arsenal were knocked out, I did kind of think about, well, is it better to free hit in the double? Is it better to really target in on just getting a full 11 of doubling players? But actually, there's quite a number of single game weekers that have got decent fixtures, and we shouldn't be blinded by that, because we always get blinded by that. and so actually, I think with the way that my team is set up, I've already got quite a few of the doubling players in there and three free transfers in which to improve my squad between now and the double in 33. Actually, I have another one. So I'll have four changes that I can make. So for me, I'm still on bench boost 33. And then free hit in 34. And then that'll see all of my chips done for the season.
Jules, yours?
Yeah, similar or the other way around. I was going to say
the other way around, but it's quite fun.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. I agree with you, Kels, to have the free hit for that double game week. And then you can really go for whoever you want. It would be fun to watch as well. There might be a bit of rotation amongst the, you know, the real players and the real teams that could affect maybe one or two of your players if you're, you know, for hitting at that time. But I think it could be fun. And then again, if you fancy that and you don't have many players blanking in 34, which is possible, like right now I only have João Pedro and Haaland blanking in 34. And by then I would have three free transfers. So there's probably some things you could do and not free hitting in 34 and still have a really decent team on paper for that game week. One of the two. I haven't really decided. I think both of them are appealing. Both of them have pros and cons. But to your point, I think it feels quite fun to use your free hit for that double game week.
I guess the problem as well is it's just Man City for me, Sam, that I'm so kind of like desperately, the fact they've still got another fixture as well. So it's like, I feel like you have to be so careful with using your chips to maximise Man City at the right points. And to be honest, we want Man City probably, looking at how they played at the weekend, probably for the whole thing, don't we? But other than the blank.
Well, that's it, right? So, yeah, other than 34, you want your Manchester City assets, right? And we know that they've got the fixture against Crystal Palace to be rescheduled. Probably going to see that slot in somewhere around game 36.
When will that go, do you think?
36, probably 36, okay. I would be my guess, simply because Crystal Palace is still in European competitions themselves. So the European weeks are locked out by Palace, which maybe we wouldn't have expected at the beginning of the season. Maybe we would have expected it to be Manchester City that caused the European difficulties with rescheduling, but it's currently Palace. So probably 36 because it's a free midweek. For me, I think that's what's turned me off of the free hit. The first one is that I still have a number of, I have Bournemouth assets who are doubling. I have two Manchester City players in my team already that are doubling. I have Joao Pedro in there. I also have Dubravka. I've already got quite a few.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that puts me off. And the other thing is that if I then free hit into three Manchester City assets, come game week 34, they're going to disappear. And then I have to use my transfers to bring them back in again later. And that's why that doesn't make much sense, because I think between now and the end of the season, once we get past the blank and the double, game weeks 35 through 38, I want to be able to use them to attack the best differential players with the best fixtures for the run-in and from teams that have got something that they've got to fight for, right? So what I don't want to be doing is fiddling around with Manchester City assets and trying to get three in again when I've already had them on free hit and then I lose them again, because actually the fixtures are nice and I'm expecting them to be in a title race. So that for me is the big thing that puts me off the free hit in game week 33, is that it doesn't allow me to keep the three Manchester City assets, and I would rather have them held despite the blank the week after. I think it's easier to hold through a blank with a free hit.
Okay, just a quick word on, because I don't want to miss out the people that do have their triple captains as well. I know we've kind of mentioned it a couple of times. If, like, because none of us literally have this chip, unfortunately, if you still had your triple captain, where would that slot in, Jules?
That's an interesting one, because there's not really, of the teams that double, there's not really one outstanding team that you think, okay, yeah, let's definitely go there, because you could go for Haaland or Semenyo, sure, and they've got Burnley as one of the two games, so that one might be enough on his own. The other one is Arsenal. So again, one really tough fixture, even at the Etihad, the other one far easier, but would you go there? Chelsea, Brighton and Manchester United, so again, you could look at it. It could go either way if you have Joao Pedro, if you fancy, I don't know, Cole Palmer or somebody like that, even Enzo. If you're Brighton, Spurs and Chelsea, okay, I know Spurs are in disarray, but they've got the Zerbi, it's a special game, all of that, Chelsea. So you can make a case for all those teams, Leeds, Bournemouth, Burnley, would you go there? Bournemouth, Leeds and Newcastle, maybe, but would you triple captain on Tavernier, Evanilson, Kroupi, those kind of guys? I'm not really sure. So I don't think it's an easy one if you still have triple captain.
Sam?
You just hold it. You hold it for 36. Because if Haaland gets a double in 36, it's two home fixtures against Crystal Palace and Brentford. So if you've got the triple captain, you would hold it there.
By next week, Palace could be out of Europe.
And if they do go out of Europe, and we'll know more about that on Thursday, depending upon how the first legs of European competitions have gone for them. If they've gone out, there are other weeks it could go. Of course, they could slot it into the midweek following game week 34 if they're all out. That is also an option. But even if it is, we know that Haaland, Semenyo, Manchester City will have a double game week at some point because they've got to fit that fixture in. And so, or they're very likely to. If it went in 34, it would just mean that they don't blank, which would also be quite interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, isn't it? Because that could just go in the midweek after their blank, and that would then fall within it. Yeah.
Would give Crystal Palace then a double in the blank, which would also be odd. So we'd have a blank and a double. It would be very strange. But all of this stuff is unknown. But I think because of that, I would be inclined to just hold the triple captain, because I think this week coming, the first double is more... You'll be more inclined to either free hit it or play a bench boost during it, or like you cows, maybe wild card during it. The triple captain, worst case scenario, you could play it on a single game weeker, perfect fixture, good.
True.
You know, that's
we get obsessed, don't we? We always say it, we get obsessed with the doubles, but
that's the thing. Could you play on Haaland v Burnley? Sure. So if you want, and if you're brave enough, if you need to catch up with some people around you in your rankings, all of that. You can play on Burnley and Arsenal, and you know, Arsenal at the Etihad, Haaland can score 1, 2, 3, Semenyo can score as well. You just don't know. So that might not be a bad time to play as well.
Okay, let's focus in on 33 and 32 then, and we're going to do it backwards. I can count, just to clarify, I'm aware that I'm doing this backwards, but I want to do 33 first because we've been talking about the teams that double. We'll come on to 32 after, and the other reason I want to do 32 second is because, I mean, 32 just looks a bit trickier to navigate in terms of the teams that you'd want in 33 feel a bit easier. I don't know. It just makes more sense from where we've just been talking about to do 33 first. So the teams that double are Man City, Chelsea, Bournemouth, Brighton, Leeds. We've established that. So Man City, I've missed one there. And Burnley. Sorry. And Burnley, of course. Sorry. I was like, there's only five there. Someone hasn't got an opponent. Manchester City, it's 11:40 at night, guys. I can't count at the best of times. Let's start with the team that we're all going to be going big on for this double. And we were desperate to double for all of those chips. Manchester City have, I think, safe to say, a double at both ends of the spectrum. Literally, they've got a team top of the league and a team second bottom in the league. And as we mentioned, they've potentially got the Palace fixture, which could, well, they have got the Palace fixture, which could make a double. So I think it goes without saying, we need three of them. I waxed lyrical last week about Nico O'Reilly. In my mind, it's Nico O'Reilly, it's Erling Haaland, it's Antoine Semenyo. Jules, you weren't as sold on Semenyo. Would you go for three, and who would your three be?
Yeah, I think three, if you can afford it, if you want to go for it. Sure, Haaland is a must-have. The hat-trick against Liverpool might change his fortune a little bit because he hadn't been that great in the Premier League before that. But that hat-trick surely would bring some confidence and momentum. So I agree with you on O'Reilly too. I think he's an outstanding candidate at the price that he cost you. Defensively, it doesn't matter so much, you know, within the game, I think, because you know that he's going to get attacking returns. That's great. The third one, you could make a case for Ryan Cherki as well.
I knew you were going to say him. Because as I said that, I thought,
my boy.
I'm saying Semenyo because I'm a sheep and I look at, oh, he's been good for me and I'm historical. But Cherki was brilliant at the weekend. And I knew that he's a Julian Laurent player if ever I've seen one.
He is. But where I follow you on Semenyo is the ownership as well. It would hurt a lot of us if you don't have him because
54%.
He's owned by... Exactly. 54% is a lot of owners, that's for sure. And if he gets a great double game week, for example, that's going to hurt you massively.
Okay, Sam, you're three? I'm presuming you're going to go three. Don't tell me you're actually going to go without Man City.
Yes, I'm not getting any. Haaland and Semenyo, they're 55.4 and 54% owned. If you don't have them, they are going to absolutely kill your rank if they do anything across this double game week.
But if you're chasing, could you not view it differently, Sam? If you're chasing, maybe.
I think there are enough differentials across the other doubling teams, Kel, that you don't risk these two. I already have Semenyo and Gehi in my team. I kept Gehi on my bench through the blank game week last time round. So despite thinking that O'Reilly is a better pick, I'm just going to stick with Gehi because what is the point in transferring out a player that's got a double for another player that's got a double? That feels like such a waste of a transfer. So for me, I'll stick with Gehi and have Semenyo and Haaland alongside. But I think if you're starting from scratch or you're wildcarding or you're playing your free hit, then O'Reilly, Semenyo, Haaland are the three to go with.
Okay, Chelsea, probably, in fact, I'm not going to start saying they're the second most desirable teams. I'm just going to make fans of other teams angry. And you could argue that Bournemouth are pretty attractive as well. So Chelsea's double is Brighton and Manchester United. Where are you going to be going with them? Sam, I'll let you go first time.
So João Pedro is the third most popular player in the game. He's owned by 50% of managers. Much like we just said for Haaland and Semenyo, if you don't have him, he's going to hurt if he returns across that double game week. Then I looked at the ownership of the other Chelsea players because these are the teams, the rest of them are the ones where I think you can get some differentials and you can kind of try and play the numbers a little bit across the double game week. So Palmer is the next most owned Chelsea asset. He's owned by 16.5%. After that is Cucurella in at 14.3% and then Enzo Fernandez at 14.1%. So all of those, despite not actually being differentials because they're not owned by under 10%, they're going to act like a differential in your team. We know that Enzo is going to miss out in game week 32, but that he should be available for game week 33 in the doubles, so that's helpful. When you look at them in the last six game weeks, João Pedro's got five goals, Palmer has two. No one else has scored anything for Chelsea across those six game weeks. João Pedro has got two assists. Palmer, Enzo, Garnacho, Gusto, Reece James and Neto all have one each. Gusto and Fofana are the only defenders to have kept clean sheets. They really aren't in very good form. And so when you're looking at them, it's very difficult to pick anyone alongside João Pedro. If I was free hitting, I might be inclined to take a punt on another Chelsea player, probably a midfielder, probably Palmer, because the reality is you probably got the budget to do it if you're on a free hit. As a long-term hold across the remainder of the season, I think I'm just going to have João Pedro and that's going to be it because I don't see the value so much in these assets with the current form that they have. Unless they really impress against Man City at the weekend, then maybe I'll think differently heading into the double. But right now, looking at them, I think it's just João Pedro for me.
Yeah. As a Sanchez owner, that's a frustrating owner, I can tell you that for sure, for free. But you probably didn't need me to tell you that. I'm struggling a bit with Chelsea. I've got João Pedro. I'll hold João Pedro. I don't really know. Jules, what do you think?
The problem with Palmer, I fancy the gamble in a way. But when Enzo comes back, if Enzo comes back, because again, you know, he should come back for 33, but we don't know in which way. Could he be on the bench? Will he be starting? Where will he start? If he starts in the number 10, that moves Palmer on the right-hand side. And you know, because I've repeated enough on the show, I don't like Palmer on that right-hand side. I don't think that suits him. I don't think he's very good there. I don't think he's good for the team either. And that's the problem. And I would love to have Palmer as a 10 in that kind of link-up play with João Pedro. Sure, on the right-hand side, I think he's far less attractive. So that's where I am at. Apart from that, I think Gusto has something interesting. But again, you can't guarantee that he will start because there's also Reece James that can play on the right-hand side. And that's the problem. So otherwise, you'd have to go for Cucurella or somebody like that. But again, I agree with you guys. That's not convincing. So even if it's just João Pedro, so be it.
Okay, then. Bournemouth, Leeds and Newcastle. A lot of managers have got Hill, Senesi, some people have got Kroupy as well. Sam, have you still got Tavernier? You had him, didn't you? Yeah, you've still got him.
Yeah, I've got two.
He's been great for him.
Yeah.
Two cherries. Yeah, he doesn't take pens anymore.
He's been the nearly man, hasn't he? You're a bit unlucky with him.
So frustrating.
High differential.
Honestly.
Anyone that listens to this podcast will know I'm chairperson of the James Hill fan club and I refuse to let go of him, despite even if Bournemouth go completely out of form, he's going to be staying in my team. Is there anyone else, Jules, that we should be looking at for this double?
Yeah, I think Petrovic, if you're looking for quite a cheap goalkeeper, I think he's been decent this season. And again, Leeds and Newcastle, in terms of where those teams rank in the table right now, this is the best double game week that you will have for Bournemouth. Better than pretty much anybody else, like we've said earlier. It doesn't guarantee you anything in this season in the Premier League, but still, you know, for where those teams are out in their season, this is maybe something where you could look into. Senesi or Hill, one of the two for sure. You can double up with Petrovic. You know, why not? There should be some safe points from Petrovic, even if they're a bit under pressure in one of those two games. Tavernier, we mentioned Kroupy, although he didn't start the last game, he came on and scored the pen, but he didn't start. And I'm not sure if he would start again in the Leeds game or the Newcastle game. Evan Nilsson is back now. You've got Tavernier as a 10. But Ryan is another option. We talked about him before when he just arrived and he had a decent month or so, or 4 weeks in a row. Maybe he's not in the kind of same form, but for how cheap he is, I think there might be an interesting, again, punt to take in on him for that double game week.
Anyone else, Sam? I just struggle to find any. I like Ryan, but I wonder if we've missed his purple patch. I think that's my kind of fear.
We might have. And I think, you know, I was looking at Bournemouth thinking, oh, I'm probably going to sell my Bournemouth assets because wasn't necessarily expecting to see them having a double game week because I was expecting West Ham probably would beat Leeds. And therefore, I was thinking probably we'd have Everton instead. But actually, when you look at the fixtures between now and the end of the season, okay, it's a really horrible one in 32. But after that, as you've said, the double's nice. Then there's the blank, but if you're free hitting there anyway, it doesn't matter. And after that, they've got Palace, Fulham, Forest and Manchester City to end the season. So, okay, there's a difficult game in there against Man City. But the other 3 weeks, I'd happily play my Bournemouth assets. So they feel like a team where if you don't have a wild card, like Jules and I, Bournemouth actually feel like a team to target if you can cover out the blank game week in 34. So, yeah, I'm going to hold Tav. I'm going to hold Senesi.
Tav? She's giving him a nickname.
He's my best mate. Hello, he's my best mate now. Yeah, we're best friends. He's going to return really well for me this week and next week. Watch this space. He won't take the pen either, will he, if they get one? It's going to be really upsetting for me.
Can we clip that up so I can get that ready to go on my social media?
Yeah, please don't.
And then maybe, I think getting somebody else is hard. Like Rayan, I do like Rayan. If I didn't have anyone else already in that Bournemouth attack, I think he'd be the one that I would still punt on, despite the fact that I agree with what you said, Kels. I do think his purple patch is maybe over, but the fixtures are there. So I think he's probably worth a bit more of a punt than, say, somebody like Kroupy or Evan Nilsson, where we might see managed and rotated minutes.
Okay, Leeds have Wolves and Bournemouth. And I've seen a lot of FPL managers and content creators getting quite excited about the differentials. I think there's a few red flags and kind of concerns about injuries. But if you punt on the right one here, Sam, it feels like maybe it could work. Particularly, I don't know, I just like some of their options kind of for a bench boost. There's some good cheap options in there.
Yeah, you've got obviously DCL that you could go back to.
No,
you've
refuse to go back
there.
Yeah,
come on.
You're going back there for sure.
You love him.
It's inevitable. You've got, if you need a goalkeeper, Darlow's not bad either between now and the end of the season. I think everyone would have gone for Stack, and we're just going to have to wait on news because he posted a picture of a very swollen looking ankle after the FA Cup with his back Zoom message. His manager suggested it was probably ligament damage. So let's just see how that is. But if he is ruled out, then Aronson maybe isn't also a nice, interesting differential there. And this is what I quite like about this set of fixtures, Leeds and Bournemouth. You can definitely, Wolves and Bournemouth for Leeds, you can definitely go for a differential in this one. It doesn't have to be DCL. Whereas before, I think you've looked at these and gone, well, it's got to be Dominic up top. But I don't think it does now. I think there are other options that you can go to, and the midfielders are just as interesting, and maybe that's where managers will be looking to change up their slightly cheaper midfielder assets for this double.
Okay, do you think anything to add there, Jules?
Yeah, I think maybe looking defensively, Rodon seemed to have picked up an injury in the FA Cup game, so let's see. But Bayol, maybe Gudmundsson, those kind of guys, I think certainly in the Wolves game you could see them getting points defensively. Okay, the Bournemouth game might be a bit more open and Bournemouth are more attacking team for sure, but you could also see maybe Leeds getting something defensively on there. So I think a defender from Leeds is not a bad option.
Finally, for Burnley, Manchester City and Forest. Is this Dubravka's moment? And only Dubravka's moment? Or is there anyone else I'm missing from Burnley?
I'm not even sure it's Dubravka's moment, to be fair. Anyway, you know, even if we have him. So no offence, Dub. Can I call it like Tav and Dub?
Martin, Tav and maybe.
Dub.
Mart. Just call him Big Mart.
Mart.
Can you tell it's late night?
One of the late night records, yeah. Okay. Should we just move on? Clearly, we've got nothing to...
But you forgot Brighton.
You've forgotten Brighton.
You can't count up to... So there's six clubs, right, Kelly? Six clubs. So you just count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Don't stop at 5, like twice already on
the
show.
Can we just edit in? Come on, just edit in the Brighton bit. Cut out them abusing me and just put it in between Bournemouth and Leeds, which is where it's meant to go.
Your maths has got worse over the last couple of seasons.
That isn't even maths. That's just not being able to read. It's literally right in front of me. Okay, let's just pretend that didn't happen.
They're probably the most popular picks as well.
Brighton, no, I don't know what you're talking about. They've got to be fair, they've got a pretty easy double, haven't they? Chelsea and then Spurs, guaranteed 3 points in the second fixture. For Brogan's the most popular player. He's only 5.8% owned, but if we're going to talk about differentials with Leeds, then I think we probably have to talk about differentials when it comes to Brighton. Go on, someone just talk, because I don't want to talk anymore.
They also have Burnley in 32, so they are the perfect investment.
That's
this week
why I went with Burnley first.
Yeah, and so this is why you do definitely want a Brighton asset or two. Welbeck's got 4 goals in his last 6 game weeks. Pascal Gross is a really interesting differential with a couple of assists in the last 6. Van Heck has got 3 clean sheets in the last 6. But Spurs and Chelsea do tend to score goals, so despite malaise at both of those two clubs and particularly at mine, I don't know that there'll be clean sheets, so you have to kind of ponder that out. But there's always DEFCON with the defenders, and that's also the nice factor there. So those are the three, but I'd also add Verbruggen in there as a really nice goalkeeper option between now and the end of the season if you're free hitting in 34 and you don't need a keeper that plays in that blank game.
Yeah, I'm very interested in Welbeck, and I think he's been unfortunate on this pod and in FPL in general not to have more mentions this season, but it feels like now is a really nice time for him, Jules.
Yeah, I agree, Welbeck for sure. Even Mitoma, I think, looks like he's back probably to a very good level. Gomez is another option. Really, if you're looking at differentials and people who can, on a good week, get you some points that nobody else will get, certainly in Gomez's case, or Mitoma as well, because he's had such an injury-prone season. So I think there's a lot of interesting stuff on Brighton in all those guys that we mentioned. It's a lot, so you don't have to go for 3 Brighton players. But 1 for sure, 2 maybe would be a good option.
Yeah, okay. And this moves us on nicely to game week 32. And this is why I did Brighton last, guys, because their fixture for 32 is actually okay. And it's because I think it's tough, isn't it? Because as I said, a lot of the teams that double in 33 have fixtures that maybe we wouldn't be targeting in this upcoming game week. Man City and Chelsea play each other. Bournemouth have Arsenal. Leeds have Man United. And of course, Brighton have Burnley. So that probably means that if you are going to wild card this week, or even if you just want to use your transfers, Brighton are probably a team to target now, Sam.
Definitely. I think if you are thinking about going for an asset for the double this week, and it's not Erling Haaland, then the best ones to go for are somebody from Brighton, whether it be a goalkeeper change, whether it be Danny Welbeck up top, whether it be a midfielder change with somebody like Gross or Minter or Matoma or whoever you fancy. I think Brighton are the doubling team that you can afford to go early on this week and then have them for the double game week fixtures that they have against Spurs and Chelsea, because across those three fixtures, somebody is going to do really, really well. And if you can get on the right one early for this week, then you'll be laughing when it comes to the second part of the run-in.
You do have to be careful, don't you, for not only if you're going to wildcard, but even if you're not going to wildcard for 32, that you aren't ignoring 32, but I suppose maybe it's more sensible to save your transfers, Jules, and just kind of try and get through 32 unscathed and then keep your transfers, because you're probably not likely to want the same players in 32 and 33 outside of Brighton.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the difficulty of it, because if you look at the other teams that are doubling, the game in 32, we talked about City going to Chelsea, for example, is not the easiest. So you look at it and you think, well, Chelsea, same, because they've got City. Leeds, that we mentioned earlier, are going away at United. So there's surely good option from Leeds for your double game week, but not really for 32 because they go to Old Trafford. Burnley, okay, we just said, and Bournemouth are away Arsenal on Saturday lunchtime kickoff. So again, you would not want to invest in Bournemouth player for 32 because they go to Arsenal. However, for 33, you've got one, two, three really good options there. So that's the very difficulty and the fun of it, to be honest, is managing those different game weeks and the different kind of momentum and where you want your money to go and which players you want. And knowing that obviously you can't just keep and change every week because you can't take minus and free transfer all the time.
If you look at your team and you think, I hate it for 32, Sam, and I really need to do something, is there anyone that stands out or anything? Or is it all just a word of caution this week?
It is a word of caution. And I think actually, if you look at the number of game week transfers in that we have so far, this low is very low. The transfer market has been quiet, shall we say. And I was expecting after the FA Cup to see it shoot up with people just going, right, well, these are the picks I need to go with. But I do think there's a lot of uncertainty. And I think if you are not sure what you're going to do with your chip strategy, then doing nothing heading into 32 is absolutely the right thing, because that gives you another week to decide whether you're bringing in a player for the double, whether you're bringing in a player for the blank. And it gives you more opportunity to just think about how your team looks between now and the end of the season. If you do want to make transfers this week and you have got them kind of burning a hole in your pocket, or if, like me, you don't have a wild card left to play and therefore you're just kind of focusing in on your transfers between now and the end of the season, then there are some teams that have decent fixtures. West Ham have a nice fixture against Wolves. You could equally argue that Wolves have a nice fixture against West Ham, but you would expect somebody like Jarrod Bowen to be a popular transfer.
Finally, I mean, it took you a long time to mention his name.
I know. He's also on my favourite
Christmas
list.
Card list.
Oh yeah, he can definitely have a Christmas card. So he's got a nice fixture. They're a team you could target. Manchester United, arguably it's a nice fixture against Leeds. So you could go for one of their assets. The likes of Manchester United and West Ham and weirdly Spurs, but probably don't go there. But if you really must, then fine. They have good fixtures in 34. So they're a decent transfer in if you don't want to play a free hit in game week 34 and you want to target the free hit in 33. Then teams like West Ham and Manchester United and Spurs and Everton could be a really decent set of options to buy this week to cover you for 34 as well.
Okay, differential of the week is back because we've actually got a game week to preview this week. And I don't know if you can remember, you'd probably rather forget that Sam just about won last time with that boy that she just mentioned. Jared Bowen got 2 points. Jules, well, the less said about yours, the better. But Sam, you can go first.
Danny Welbeck for
oh,
me
that's
this
mine.
Week.
No, well, and I literally have only one, I well, swear so, to God.
But I only have one. So okay. What do we do now?
Okay, you go for Danny Welbeck and I go for another one.
I only got one because I won
Chirky?
Last week.
I'll go for Ryan Cherky.
So he's we both obviously think Welbeck is a decent pick this week. He's 6.2 million, owned by just 5.5% of the game, faces Burnley, as we've mentioned. He scored 4 goals in the last 6, as I said earlier, but 12 across the season so far. In the Brighton team, only Van Heck has more FPL points than Danny Welbeck does. And Burnley have conceded the most goals and have the fewest clean sheets, tied with Wolves and West Ham. So they should do really well this week, and bringing him in this week sets you up really nicely for the double next week.
I can't wait to hear Jules's really long, well thought out, statistically heavy, Cherky piece. He's had about 30 seconds to
actually,
prepare. As he
actually,
scrolls
my
his
pick
phone.
Is going to be, oh. I mean, Bart Verbruggen I was going to go for because we fancy Brighton. But I'm happy to go for Ryan Cherky.
Go
I
with
just
who you
need
want,
a couple
Jules.
Of seconds to...
you can pick whoever you want.
No,
you can
no,
pick whoever
no,
you
I
want,
mean,
but it doesn't make the best audio as we wait for you to...
I know, you stole my Danny Welbeck. I would have told you about the weekend I spent with Danny Welbeck not that long ago in a hotel in London.
What?
Not that kind of weekend. I know you two, and I know how your minds work. Not like that weekend.
It's approaching midnight, and this is really
Ryan
gone a weird
Cherky,
way.
£6.3 million. That's really cheap for such a jewel of a footballer. 6.9% ownership, which is really low and below 10%. A bit of a magician with the ball. And I think despite blanking against West Ham in the last time that he played, he had returns against Forest before that. I think he's in really good form. He had a really good international break with France as well. He was outstanding against Colombia. So Ryan Cherky for me, differential of your week.
Okay, we're boring everyone now because this is going to become a very long podcast, but we've still got to do transfers and captains. I'm either not making any transfers or I'm wildcarding. It's no in between for me. What about you guys?
I need to decide whether I'm getting Haaland back for Chelsea. That I either roll the transfer this week and have 4 going into 33 and then get him back that
How
week.
How likely are you to do that?
Roll it or bring him back.
Oh, you have either. To bring him back.
I think given the way Chelsea are playing at the minute, and I don't, the game against Port Vale, let's not let that cloud our judgment. I think Chelsea are in a dip. I think I'm quite likely to do it this week. The question for me is, do I do it in sacrifice of Richarlison or do I stick with my...
It's time to let
you
go.
Know the answer.
It's really time to let go.
Heart v head, I know, but sometimes you've got to let that head rule.
Yeah, for sure, particularly when it comes to Spurs. But there are other options. So I could also sell Thiago and then bring him back in on the free here or later on anyway. So I'll probably sell him, and then Virgil, I'll probably downgrade Virgil to Van Heck, and then I've got an extra doubling defender for the blank, for the double rather, given I'm free hitting in the blank, it means I can afford to do that. So I think that's probably what I'll do. Use 2 of my transfers this week and then I'll still have 2 heading into game week 33.
Jules?
I'm going to roll this week, then I have 2 for game week 33, and I'd be happy with that, I think. And my captain is going to be Bruno Fernandes, I think, at home to Leeds.
Your captain, Sam, that's the same as mine.
I think that's going to be mine as well.
Okay, that's boring, isn't it? If you bring Haaland back, will you captain him?
Against Chelsea, possibly. Yeah, possibly.
He's an option, isn't he? I think he'll be popular.
He's definitely back on the option. And Semenyo's back as an option as well. But I fancy Bruno Fernandes to do really well.
I love that we've actually got a captaincy debate these days. Okay. Well done if you've stayed with us. It's been a long, winding road to get to this point. But we've got here a reminder, your deadline. By the time he finishes, it'll probably be time for the deadline. 6:30 on Friday. It's 90 minutes ahead of West Ham against Wolves. We'll be back here again next week to look ahead to double game week 33. Sam's going to be with me on the Fantasy Show on Friday. Is it Sam? Is it you and your husband in the studio?
Yeah, you got both of us on Friday morning.
Pretty sure the call sheet only
you.
Says the call sheet it, only it says does. You, so we probably need to sort that out.
It's all right, I've already sorted that out.
Wonderful stuff. And Az and Lee will also be back next week on the podcast, on the Off the Bench podcast, to review what happened in game week 32. That will be out on Monday, Sal?
No, Tuesday.
I'm glad you know,
because it's a Monday night game.
Yeah, I knew that. See you later, guys.